Let's talk a little bit about the utilization of this agent right now in practice. Julie, I asked if you could present a patient that received bevacizumab.
Sure. So I guess the use of that right now mostly is in the relapse setting, of course, because that's where it's approved. And I would say some of the more dramatic areas where we've seen it is in patients who've had transplant, autologous transplant, and then have relapsed, because they're relatively difficult to treat otherwise for a number of different reasons. Their counts are down, maybe they've had other toxicities. So probably the most dramatic patient I can think of is a 34-year-old woman who had ABVD, relapsed within a year, underwent autologous stem cell transplantation for advanced stage Hodgkin's, and then again relapsed within a year with kind of disseminated disease. So she did receive brentuximab vedotin for 3 cycles, and then another PET scan was done, and she had a complete remission. So the question is, how long do you continue to give the brentuximab vedotin, or do you consider a young patient to go on to an allo transplant at that point?
So I ask Chris, what would you be thinking?
So that's always challenging. I mean, unlike some of the other places where we've talked about the role of allotransplant in CLL and in mantle cell lymphoma and in follicular lymphoma, while I've done a series of allotransplants for patients in the past in Hodgkin lymphoma, I'm less commonly doing those now because while that provides some benefits and buys time, I've seen relatively few long-term disease-free survival patients. And so I'd be a little bit less inclined to do that. And it creates a very challenging situation for a patient with Hodgkin lymphoma who's relapsed after an autologous transplant because there are relatively few meaningful options at that point. Bevacizumab is clearly one, but is likely one that once you stop therapy, that this patient is ultimately going to relapse again. We participated in a number of trials for the patients in this setting, notably panobinostat recently, that does not appear like it's likely to pan out, although it showed some promise. RAD-001 that showed some early promise, but does not appear like it's going to pan out. And so among the trials, unlike some of the other situations for the non-Hodgkin's lymphomas, we haven't really seen trials pan out in the relapse situation for Hodgkin lymphoma. So I would likely continue bevacizumab until completion of therapy and then follow this patient and then with relapse consider a chemotherapy-based approach if necessary down the line.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with the allo data that Chris referred to. I guess in a young person, I would still be thinking hard about whether that's going to be an option to go to. So typically, I would try to get the response to brentuximab and then refer for that opinion. And I don't know if you doing allos at your place?
We do allos for some of these patients, but it's again a very long discussion, and there's lots of cons and not as many pros in this situation, just as was discussed. And so I do have some long-term survivors, but they have definitely increased complications, increased infections, so it's an issue.
Yeah, because otherwise you're taking somebody in their mid-30s, and I agree, if it's not good, then we wouldn't do it, but then you're already saying you're not likely to be cured, and so we're going to try to just sequence therapies and get as much time as possible. So in that case, since she's already responded with a CR after 3, then I guess what we've done in some patients like that who are not transplant candidates is just give some truncated version, you know, 6-8 doses, stop, and then come back with it again down the road when they recur. And the 2 or 3 we've done that with have responded again. So, but you're into the sort of sequencing, stringing out therapies at that point.